Sandman, please come to order. Clerk, please call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
He's here. Senator Rosenbaum is...
Quorum being present, we will post the colors. Senator Richard Devlin is going to lead us in the pledge. Invocation today will be a moment of silence to think about each other. courtesies, please. Come on, entrances. Recognize Senator Bruce Starr.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, 2 weeks ago today, 21-year-old Heather Snively of Tigard was brutally murdered. She was 8 months pregnant. 8 months. Her son, John Stephen, was cut from Heather's womb in a barbaric crime. Heather's fiancé, Chris Popp, lost two family members that day. But sadly, Oregon law doesn't recognize that because there is no concrete proof the baby took a breath before he died. There were two victims. There should be two charges of aggravated murder. But sadly, the Washington County District Attorney can't prosecute for two separate murders because Oregon doesn't have a fetal homicide protection law. 36 other states provide this protection. The federal government provides this protection, but not here in Oregon. Senate Bill 982 would have given us or would give us a good law that says in no uncertain terms that if you kill an unborn child, you can be charged with murder. And yes, there is an abortion exception in the bill. It's too late for Heather and John Stevens and Chris, but not for other expectant mothers out there now and in the future. This week, the Oregonian had an editorial in support of tougher laws for these horrible acts. They pointed out that there have been 1,400 pregnant women murdered in the United States since 1990. That's 70 a year, six each month. Even one is too many. Colleagues, we have an opportunity to rectify this by passing Senate Bill 982. I urge the leadership to allow that bill to move and move quickly before we sign or die. There's also an alternative, House Bill 3505, that would also rectify Oregon statute. Thank you, Mr. President.
Okay. Messages from the House. From the governor, excuse me.
Mr. President, the governor appointing has approved and signed the following bills. Senate bills 8, 9, 16, 24, 36, 44, 47, 102, 103, 112, 118, 121, 123, 125, 129, 132, 152, 170, 171, 173, 180, 81, 82, 87, 195, 198, 200, 203, 205, 208, 220, 227, 235, 275, 277, 287, 303, 303, 327, 348, 374, 377, 378, 381, 383, 400, 401, 404, 484, 623, 731, 771.
Recognize Senator Ferrioli, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Republicans request a brief off-the-floor caucus.
I recognize Senator Devlin, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Democrats request a 10-minute caucus.
We will caucus to about 1:20 p.m. We're going to go into recess for 1:20.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montez Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
He's here. Senate recess following. Quorum, Mr. President. Senate recess following the order message from the governor. We'll resume another message from the House. Is so ordered.
Mr. President, we're going to speak from the House to pass Senate Bill 519, House Bill 3507, 3059, 3497, House Bills 5027, 2073, 2152, 2557, 3158, adopted SCR 16, passed following Senate Bills amended by the House, Senate Bill 64. Speaker has signed House Bills 2003, 2005, 2058, 2059, 2371, 2682, 2702, 2796. 2839, 2834, 2874, 2893, 2097, 2941, 2950, 2955, 3033, 3041, 3077, 3082, 3157, 3175, 3204, 3254, 3263, 3343, 3367, 3379, 3450, 3451, HDR 6, HDRs 3754, HR 7, Senate Bills 270, 284, 306, 309, 314, 344, 391, 603, 618, 637, 680, 780, 794, 871, 874, SCR 17. Speakers also signed House Bills 2009, 21, 23, 21, 24, 21, 36, 45, 77, 88, 91, 22, 21, 30, 38, 46, 55, 85, 92, 23, 06, 24, 26, 24, 27, 35, 78, 25, 02, 07, 11, 53, 69, 78, 26, 23, 26, 66, 67, 27, 59, 27, 90, 27, 94, 27, 95, Senate Bills 310, 498, 560, 579, 640, 734, 773, and 944.
What purpose do your eyes, Senator George?
Return of remonstrances.
Without objection, do so.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, today a number of us being called to the floor are missing the funeral and memorial of a very close friend of ours, Mr. Bill Stallings from Portland. And Mr. Stallings' memorial service is going to be held at 3 o'clock today, but since obviously we have floor session, we're not going to be able to make it. And I wanted to say a few words. I was reminiscing about Mr. Stallings with the good senator from Hillsborough. Bill Stallings was a gentleman who, if you knew him, you loved him. He served on the Mount Hood Community College Board of Directors for years and played a large amount of political theater over in East Multnomah County. Bill was also a gentleman who you loved because of the fact that he was also a person who loved being involved in politics and public policy. And Bill Stallings was the gentleman that through the 1980s and 90s painted many of the lawn signs and field signs for Republican candidates statewide. The good senator from Hillsborough and I were talking about times when we would be sitting at 1 o'clock in the morning in Bill Stallings' garage painting signs that he was late in delivering. I can say that because Bill was known for always delivering signs late, never on time, and the ink would still be wet. So whatever day you asked for it to be delivered, it would be delivered the next day completely wet from the night before. And Senator Starr and I have spent many hours doing those overnight to make sure that they got delivered close to the deadline. Bill Stallings was a close friend of many of those of us who have been political activists in the Republican Party since the 1980s and 90s, and we will miss Bill. Bill, we're sorry we're missing your memorial service, but understand there's many of us on the floor that appreciated your public service, appreciated your friendship, and we will miss you very much. Thank you, Mr. President.
If Chairman Begg, order business. Fifth from conference committees. Reading reports from standing committees in accordance with SR 8.551 committee reports summary number 128 distributed to members June 28th and 129 and 130 distributed today. This information according to the Journal of State's report is so ordered. Reports to special committees. Without objection, we will now proceed to the first reading of Senate measures so ordered.
Senate Bill 984, related to crime declaring emergency.
Transfer the President's referral. Proposition to motions. Recognize Senator Jason Atkinson.
Mr. President, I move Senate Bill 982 be withdrawn from the Committee on Ways and Means.
Atkinson moves Senate Bill 982 be drawn from Ways and Means. To your motion.
Mr. President, as it was mentioned earlier, this is the two-week mark of a tragedy in Oregon. This bill, which is right now resting comfortably in the Ways and Means Committee, would address a considerable social concern and moral concern that we have before us. And given the fact that the state Senate is still in session, it is imperative upon us to lead the society and culture of Oregon in such a way that is respectable to all life. This bill, Mr. President, Senate Bill 982, expands the criminal homicide to include causing of death of an unborn child. It creates the crime of an assault of an unborn child, and it has a punishment of maximum of 10 years imprisonment, $250,000 fine, or both. Mr. President, I'm calling forward right now Senate Bill 982, which in principle is very similar to a measure in which you yourself recently introduced, Senate Bill 984. I will keep my remarks to 982. However, it is worth mentioning that in the spirit of bipartisanship, 982 and 984 are nearly identical. Yours, Mr. President, creates a crime of murder, as aggravated murder if a victim of a pregnant woman and defendant knew or as reasonably should have known that the victim was present or was pregnant. Pardon me. Mr. President, we all know the details are somewhat hard to talk about of this horrific crime that took place in Northern Oregon, a crime that has very drastically affected a lot of Oregonians. And
Senator
it is imperative that we bring
Senator
this
Atkinson,
bill to the floor.
Senator Atkinson,
yes?
You speak to the motion to withdraw, not to the merits of the bill.
I am. I am speaking
Senator
to
Atkinson,
the motion to withdraw.
Senator Atkinson, speak
Mr.
to
Horney.
The motion to withdraw.
I think that it is very important that we pull this bill to the floor now and vote on it. That is the motion, Mr.
Okay.
President.
Further discussion? Senator Devlin. Senator's demanded a call of the Senate, joined by Senator Dianne Rosenbaum and Senator Laurie Montes-Anderson. The clerk will call the roll, and the doorkeepers will bar the door. The clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes-Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
All those subject to the call are present. I want to read to you what the Secretary of the Senate has brought to my attention on at least two different occasions and has warned me to exercise my presidential responsibility. It is not in order to discuss the merits of a bill upon a motion to withdraw a bill from committee. Debate in such cases must be confined strictly to the purpose of the motion. For if this were not true, the merits of any question could be forced under discussion merely by such a motion to withdraw. In the House of Representatives of the State of Oregon, a motion to withdraw is made and it's over with. No discussion of any kind. We allow more freedom in the Senate. I am trying to ask you not to put me in a situation to have to shut off a discussion on a motion to withdraw. We do not discuss the merits of the bill. It's strictly to the motion to withdraw. So please, I'm asking you to indulge me in this. I have probably allowed in the past too much discussion beyond the rules that control the discussion. With that, I will recognize Senator Bruce Starr. We are now under, Senator Ted Friel. I will now recognize Senator Jason Atkinson to finish his remarks, remembering the motion to withdraw is confined to the rules of the Senate as presented and which I just discussed with you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, point of parliamentary inquiry.
What is your point?
My question of inquiry is the relating clause fit within the discussion of the bill, or is that simply definitional?
Definitional.
Thank you very much for that ruling. Mr. President, for those of you just joining us, I have made a motion to pull Senate Bill 982 to the floor for an immediate vote. The reason is that there is much discussion upon both parties, majority and minority, on the importance of this bill. And if you do not have your bill filed for you here on the floor, allow me to read the relating clause so that you're fully aware of what you're about to vote on. Senate Bill 982, relating to the establishment of an unborn child as a legal victim of a crime that results in the harm to the unborn child, creating new provisions and amending ORS 163.005, 163.95, 163.115, 163.118, 163.125, and ORS 163.145. It's a bill that we all know. It's an issue that we all understand. It's an important bill. There's two competing bills. They're virtually the exact same. It's a matter of principle. I would urge that we now pull this bill to the floor and vote on it.
Recognize Senator Bruce Starr.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I stand in support of the motion to bring Senate Bill 982 to the Senate floor. I'm speaking not to the merits of the bill, but to the bill itself. Colleagues, again, this is not a bill you likely have in front of you, but I think it's important that we move this bill now because we're coming to the end of the legislative session, and if we don't do it now, it won't get done. And so that's why it's important. This bill creates a opportunity for law enforcement to charge in the murder and or the assault of an unborn child. That's what this bill does in the event that this pregnant mom is harmed. That's what the bill does. We know the case in Washington County that occurred 2 weeks ago. I talked about that in my remonstrance.
Senator Starr, you're now discussing the merits of the bill.
Mr. President.
Senator Starr, you're now discussing the merits of the bill.
Mr. President, I'm discussing the timeliness of the bill.
Senator Starr, you're discussing the motion to withdraw.
I understand that. That's what I'm doing, Mr. President. Also in the bill, Mr. President, language in the bill, since it's not the merits of the bill,
Senator
but it's language
Starr,
of the bill.
Senator Starr, you're discussing the motion to withdraw.
That's correct.
I ask you to confine your remarks to that, Senator Starr.
Thank you. We'll do this, Mr. President. Thank you. Again, in the bill,
Senator
language
Starr,
in the bill.
We are not, the motion, the bill is, you want to bring the bill here. We will not go into the merits of the bill.
Mr. President. Based on your response to Senator Atkinson.
Senator Starr, if you're going to continue to resist, I will then recognize Senator Jeff Cruz, who wishes to speak.
Mr. President, point of information, please.
What's your point?
Is the language in the bill talking to the merits of the bill, or what's the bill?
The language in the bill is the merits of the bill. You have made a motion to bring that bill to the floor so we can discuss what's in the bill. What is in the bill is the merits of the bill. That is the ruling of the chair.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Recognize Senator.
I still have time, Mr. President. Thank you. The bill, or the relating clause on the bill, Mr. President, is establishing an unborn child as a legal victim of a crime that results in harm to the unborn child and creating new provisions. It's a good bill. It needs to be voted on now because time is of the essence. So we wrap up our legislative session. That's why we need to do it now. That's why we need to do it today. That's why the motion has been made to pull this bill out of committee to the floor, because we know the bill's in Ways and Means where it's likely not going to receive any action whatsoever. That's why we're making the motion to bring this bill, this important piece of legislation, to the floor so we can have a vote on it. Thank you, Mr. President.
Recognize Senator Jeff Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise to the point of the parliamentary inquiry.
What is your point?
Mr. President, it's some confusion on my part based on your ruling on what can actually be discussed, and you're saying the substance of the bill cannot be discussed. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, Mr. President, my question at that point would be, I see a bill number up there, and there's lots of bill numbers. How can we make an informed decision on whether this is a bill to bring to the floor if we don't know what's in the bill?
Senator, do you wish to speak to the motion to withdraw?
No, this
Senator,
is...
Senator, I have answered your question to the best of my ability. I have answered your question.
Well, I challenge the ruling of the chair that we can't at least
Senator
know
Cruz
what the content of the bill is.
Senator Cruz has challenged the ruling of the chair. Are we under call?
Yes, we are.
All right. The question now arises upon whether or not the ruling of the chair stands or is overruled. Those in favor of the challenge issued by Senator Jeff Cruz will answer aye as the names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk, please call the roll.
Whitsett. Whitsett. Winters. Winters.
Stop the roll call. The motion is to sustain the ruling of the chair. If you wish to sustain the ruling of the chair, you will say aye. If you wish to overrule the ruling of the chair, you will say no or nay. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Whitsett. Whitsett. Winters. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick,
that is despicable.
Carter, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Mons Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse. Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, President Courtney.
Yes.
Absent, Boquist, voting no, Atkinson, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Cruz, Morse, Nelson, Starr, Telfer, Whitsett, Winters, 18 ayes.
The ruling of the chair has been sustained. Further discussion. We're still under call. The question now arises upon the motion to withdraw Senate Bill 982 from the Ways and Means Committee. All those in favor will say aye. The names are called. Those opposed, no. Clerk call. Senator Atkinson.
I believe I would get a close, Mr. President.
Proceed.
Close is very simple. This does not need to be difficult in any way. It's a bill that we unfortunately know now for the wrong reasons. We do not want to leave this undone. I believe it's appropriate to pull it to the floor, and I would urge all of us to allow us to vote on it. Thank you, Mr. President.
The question now arises upon whether or not the motion to withdraw from the Committee of Ways and Means, Senate Bill 982. Those in favor of the motion to withdraw will say aye. Names are called. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Winters. Winters.
Proceed. We can't proceed.
Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. 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 Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Mons Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. 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 Nelson. Nelson. Przonski. Przonski. Nelson Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. President Courtney.
No.
Absent. Boquist. Voting no. Bates. Bonamici. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Haas. Johnson. Metzger. Mons Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. President Courtney. 10 ayes.
The motion has failed. At ease. Senator Ferrioli, would you come to the podium, please? We can now come back to the regular order of business. Proposition motion. Recognize Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the rules be suspended in order that the Senate may take action on second and third reading of Senate Bill 5520 and Senate Bill 5554 immediately.
Senator Devlin has moved the rules be suspended in order that the Senate may take action on the second and third reading of Senate Bill 5520 and Senate Bill 5554 immediately. To your motion.
On the floor here today to take action on these two bills at this time.
There's no objection. It's so ordered. Second reading of Senate measures.
Senate Bill 5520, Relief Financial Administration, Department of Education, Appropriate Money, Court Emergency. Senate Bill 5554, State Financial Administration, Appropriate Money to Court Emergency, and Providing for Transfer of Monies from the Education Stability Fund and Appropriation of Monies from the Oregon Rainy Day Fund that require approval by 3/5 majority.
These are passed the calendar. Now on the third reading of Senate measures. Senator Devlin to the podium, please. Senator Richard Devlin, as well as Senator Ted Ferriero to the podium, please. All right, the Senate's going to go into recess to 2:30 for purposes of a ceremony planting a tree to honor the late Ted Winters, the husband and maid of Senator Jackie Winters. So we will go into recess until 2:30, at which time we will come back here immediately to take up Senate Bills 5520 and Senate Bills 5554. Are there any other announcements at this time by you, Senator Ferrioli?
No, Mr. President.
Senator Devlin, do you have any announcements? The Senate will now go into recess for 2:30.
The Senate will please come to order. Clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Carter, Devlin, Devlin, Dingfelder, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Gerard, Haas, Haas, Johnson, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Metzger, Mons Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Nelson, Przonski, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Verger, Walker, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
A quorum is present. Senate recessed on the third reading of Senate measures and resume under that order. So ordered. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 5520 with the Pennsylvania Administration Department of Education for Permanent Court Emergency.
Recognize Senator Rod Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. President. 5520 is the K-12 budget bill. The $6 billion K-12 budget bill comes to you. Unanimous support from your Ways and Means Committee and from your Education Sub. There's also an estimated $2.99 billion in local revenues, mostly from property taxes, that go to fund our schools, but those are not included in the state budget. Of the $6 billion in the state school support fund, up to $200 million will be appropriated a year from now, June of 2010, if the sum of the balances in the Oregon Rainy Day Fund, the Education Stability Fund, and the General Fund ending balance added together as forecasted in June 2010 exceed $100 million. If they exceed $100 million, then the additional above $100 million will be appropriated to the Education Fund up to a total of an additional $200 million. That's where you get to the $6 billion. 5.8 plus, if things hold together, another $200 million a year from now. Joint Ways and Means Committee also approved suspending funding for the district best practices audits for one biennia only. It's a good program, but it cost $800,000. An allocation of up to $1.8 million in the state school fund for the Oregon Virtual School District Fund that is appropriated, and $2.3 million general fund for local option equalization grants, of which $900,000 is in a special purpose appropriation to the E-Board. This is a good budget. It will keep schools open. It will reward those school districts who've done a good job and who have budgeted frugally and carefully with a full school year. And it once again says that the highest priority of this legislative assembly is funding education. I urge your aye vote.
Discussion. Senator Jason Atkinson.
Mr. President, thank you very much to the bill.
The bill.
Mr. President, request permission to read from printed material.
Proceed to do so.
Thank you very much. Mr. President, I think this is a good bill, and I do commend the Ways and Means process for bringing it forward.
I think, though, that the politics of this bill, I'm very concerned about. If you read from a floor letter, as I am, the very first paragraph says that a very powerful lobbying association thanks the legislature for prioritizing the public education budget. And while they would love to offer students a fully funded system, they know that's not possible at this time. Mr. President, since I've been in the Oregon legislature, this budget has been the most political budget of all time. Even though that this is an increase from last session, I would like the carrier, when he concludes, perhaps to say that if this is a cut or not. I believe that Senator Monroe would say that this is not a cut. But I think the politics will say that if you go outside this building and you have one particular letter behind your name, you're obviously cutting education. Let me also say, read from another piece of printed material. That is Webster's Dictionary, who defines a priority as a thing that is regarded as more important than any other. Second bullet point, priority, the right to take precedence or to proceed before others. Mr. President, this is the 159th day of session. Most states who are larger than us have concluded their entire budget quicker than we can do the budget that we are now saying today is a priority. Mr. President, I have suggested for many sessions that we pass this budget by forcing this budget to be passed within 81 days, which changes the balance of power and puts the power back in control of the Oregon legislature. So, Mr. President, I do thank the good senator from Gladstone, Portland. Just double checking. And I think it's important, but I think it's important that we as senators know, leave before this vote, that we believe that this is an increase and not a cut. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. President. And colleagues, I agree wholeheartedly with the carrier in that I hold education of young Oregonians of the highest priority. And keeping schools open and keeping classrooms filled with students, but not overflowing with students per teacher. I stand in opposition of the bill because I don't think we're funding the schools enough. And I believe our back to basics budget has shown that we can fully fund the schools and do it without new taxes and utilizing funds that we already have on hand. So as a result of my being very, very concerned about fully funding schools, I'm going to oppose this bill.
Very briefly, just to make a clear point, this total is $6 billion. Funding in 2007-09 was $6.1 billion. This is a slight reduction. So it is, if I made the impression that it was not a reduction, I'm sorry, it is a slight reduction. But compared to the overall state of the economy and the $4 billion hole that we had to fill, we've done very well and upheld our end of the bargain with respect to the quality of our schools in this state. I wish there were more money. I would love to see more money. Spent my life in education. I believe, though, that this is a sound budget given the realities that we face.
So Devlin has demanded a call of the Senate. He's joined by Senator Dianne Rosenbaum and by Senator Lori Montes Anderson. The doorkeepers will bar the doors and the sergeant of arms will attend. The clerk, please call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonsky, Przonsky, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Winters, President Courtney.
All those subject to the call are now present. The question arises upon the third reading of the final passage of Senate Bill 5520. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Ferger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused, Bates, Winters, absent, Boquist, voting no, Atkinson, Ferrioli, George, Cruz, Starr, Telfer, 21 ayes.
Senate Bill 520, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Senator George.
Vote explanation, Madam Chair, Madam President.
Proceed without.
Thank you, Madam President. Colleagues, I've talked about this on the floor. We have a record amount of money in this state capital with zero tax increases. The all funds budget of this state is going to go from $48 to $50 billion. We have a record amount of money in this state budget without one tax increase. It is how we structure our budgets. And we put things in pots of money. And the fact is that K-12 education ought to be the first and foremost priority of this state. And yet, for some reason, it's one of the last. And I promised my schools that I would not vote for a K-12 education budget that was less than $6.245 billion. Because if we truly cared about the education of our children, we would have followed the Republican budget, and we would have funded schools at $6.245 billion with no tax increases. We could have done it with budget reform. When we have a 4 to 5% increase in all funds budget, it is about prioritization, and it is about making children first in the state of Oregon. Thank you, Madam President.
Senator Ferrioli.
Thank you, Madam President. Vote explanation.
Proceed.
Madam Chairman, I appreciate the hard work that's gone into the budget. I appreciate the co-chair's work on the budget. But I voted no because of a couple of issues that I think we should have taken into consideration. First of all, $6.245 billion is the right number. It preserves the most options, does the least damage. And it was possible to achieve that number if we use the other funds budget dollars that are in this building and in those state agencies. Madam President, I voted no on this, notwithstanding the advocacy of the Oregon Education Association and others, because I believe that this budget is risky. This is a very risky budget. The size of the tax increases that are needed to fund this budget because we didn't use other funds that are currently available makes it vulnerable to referral or initiative and possibly very vulnerable to the anger of voters who will see that we raised taxes and spent money in ways that they perhaps will think were not prudent. I have no quarrel with using a portion of the rainy day fund or the school stability fund or any of the dollars that we have for those purposes, but my real objection to this budget is that it just subjects the folks in education, particularly the students and parents and patrons of school district, to too much uncertainty about whether or not they will see a ballot measure which, if overturned, will bring us back into this building to do what we should be doing now, and that's implementing the back to basics budget. Thank you, Madam President.
Thank you, Senator Starr.
Vote explanation, Madam President.
Proceed.
Thank you. Colleagues, I oppose the budget because I, too, believe that we should be spending more on K-12 education, at least $6.245 billion. It makes more sense for me to do that, for us to do that. As you look at the impacts that this budget is going to have on the fourth largest school district in the state of Oregon and the largest school district in my district, Hillsborough, We are cutting school days, we're increasing class sizes, and we are passing a budget here that I didn't support that is based on tax increases that are unnecessary and ultimately will be rejected by the voters. For those reasons, Madam President, I oppose this bill.
Thank you. We'll continue on with third reading of Senate measures. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 5554 in the State Financial Administration, appropriating money to declare an emergency and providing for transfer of money to the Education Stability Fund and appropriation of monies from the Oregon Rainy Day Fund to require approval by 3-5 majority.
Recognize Senator Carter.
Thank you, Madam President. House Bill.
Oh, I have the wrong bill. Sorry.
Sorry. Senate Bill 5554A, Education Stability Fund, Rainy Day Fund Transfer, implements a transfer from the Education Stability Fund to deal with the projected deficit for the 07-09 biennium and a transfer from the Rainy Day Fund to the General Fund to complete the 09-11 General Fund legislatively adopted budget. Based on the May 2009 revenue forecast, the state's general fund deficit for the current biennium is estimated at $351.3 million. In addition, there's a risk of further declines in the general fund situation by the time the final tax collections for the biennium are received. With less than 1 month remaining in the current biennium, limited options exist for rebalancing the state's budget. Senate Bill 5554 transfers the balance of the Education Stability Fund to the State School Fund. Based on the May 2009 forecast, this balance is estimated at $393,950,531. The bill also establishes a new lottery fund expenditure limitation for the State School Fund for the 2007-09 biennium in that amount, and this appropriates the same amount of general fund. The net change to the state school fund is zero. By reducing general fund expenditures, the effect of the bill is to increase the state's general fund ending balance, offsetting the projected deficit. Senate Bill 5554 also transfers two-thirds of the balance of the Rainy Day Fund on July 1, 2009 to the general fund for general governmental purposes in the 09-11 biennium. Based on the May 2009 forecast, the transfer is anticipated to be $225.3 million, leaving approximately $112.6 million in the Rainy Day Fund. This transfer is necessary to provide sufficient revenue to finalize the proposed 09-11 biennium budget. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means, Madam President, recommends passage of Senate Bill 5554A to this body. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion? Yes, Senator Starr.
Thank you, Madam President. Colleagues, I had intended to come here and speak in opposition to this bill based on what I saw in an earlier amendment, but I want to compliment the work in the Ways and Means Committee as it relates to the sweep of the money out of the Rainy Day Fund. You didn't, as it was contemplated in an earlier amendment that I saw, you didn't set aside current statute in order to sweep the money. You basically abided by what was in the statute, so I think that's appropriate. I am going to oppose the bill, however, because it's going to fund an education budget that is underfunded that we need to spend more money on. But I appreciate the work in the Ways and Means Committee as it relates to how the money is taken from the Reserve Fund or Rainy Day Fund. Thank you, Madam President.
Seeing no further discussion, do you wish to close, Senator Carter?
Call of the Senate.
Call of the Senate. Senator Devlin has demanded a call of the Senate, joined by Senator Rosenbaum and Senator Broderick. The doorkeepers will bar the doors and the sergeant at arms will attend. The clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bates, Bonamici, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Prozonsky, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
All members subject to the call are present. The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 5554. Those who are of the opinion the bill should be passed will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montanderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, President Courtney. Excused, Bates, Winters, absent, Boquist, voting no, Atkinson, Ferrioli, George, Cruz, Starr, Telfer, 21 ayes.
Senate Bill 5554A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Madam President. Vote explanation.
Proceed.
Thank you, Madam President. Colleagues, I voted against this budget as well as the previous one simply because this Legislative Assembly was presented with a better way to reach a balanced budget without tax increases that would have given K-12 education more money than is in the current budget without the uncertainty of a referral of a tax measure. Madam President, if I can't support the revenue package that is created to sustain these budgets, I can't support the budgets. You can't do one without the other. If these budgets had been based on a sustainable revenue package, my votes would have probably been different.
All right. Without objection, the Senate will proceed to the order of third reading of House measures. So ordered. The clerk will read the bill. And
House Bill 3118 on the Higher Practices Institution of Higher Education.
Recognize Senator Carter.
Thank you, Madam President. Up and at it again. House Bill 3118 comes to you on a unanimous vote from your Senate Committee on Education and General Government. House Bill 3118 is modeled after the Rooney Rule of the National Football League. While we might not have an NFL team yet, House Bill 3118 directs that we function at the highest standard of sports. The legislation requested by a former collegiate football player at Western Oregon directs that each institution under the jurisdiction of the State Board of Higher Education interviews one or more qualified minority applicants when hiring a head coach or athletic director. Unless the institution was unable to identify a qualified minority applicant who was willing to interview for the position. Testimony in support, colleagues, of House Bill 3118 was received from Bob DeCaros, Director of Athletics at Oregon State University, who reported in 2008 NCAA Division I athletic directors adopted the position that for head football coach, men's basketball coach, women's basketball coaches, and athletic director positions that at least one minority candidate be in the formal interview process. Oregon State Athletic Director D. Carolus stated, while there has been some progress in this area, there is still much room for improvement, therefore the need for House Bill 3118. In addition, full support for House Bill 3118 was submitted by Oregon State University head basketball coach LaVonda Wagner, stating, and I'm quoting, "There are many qualified minorities in the athletics position. House Bill 3118 will provide another avenue for qualified minorities to develop their skills and work towards eventually becoming a head coach or an athletic director." Rob Cashel, athletic director at Eastern Oregon University, stated, "I think if qualified minorities knew they were going to have a possibility to interview, they might take a closer look at schools such as ours, that Oregon has this law and there's an opportunity out there." On your desk, each of you have a letter of support from Mike Bellotti, athletic director of the University of Oregon and former head coach of the Ducks. House Bill 3118 is a message about opportunity, opportunity for all in Oregon. And I request today your consideration and an aye vote. Thank you very, very much.
Recognize Senator Hass.
Thank you, Madam President. Some of you may have thought this bill was off for a long rest when it was referred to the Senate Education Committee, but a funny thing happened on the way to that resting place. I, along with members of our committee, began thinking about it, and we began talking about it. I talked to college coaches who were well-known, and I talked to people who were minorities and not so well-known. Eventually, I came around to the indisputable fact that guys who look like me should never be allowed to pass judgment on the barriers minorities face when it comes to hiring. The opportunities I had or didn't have, the jobs I got, the jobs I didn't get, never had anything to do with the color of my skin. My skin color never kept me out of a job interview, but not everyone in this state can say that. So our committee set out to work on this legislation with the hopes of passing it and improving it. We narrowed the definition of minorities to match definitions in other chapters in Oregon law. We provided an affirmative defense for schools, which meant that if an athletic department works in good faith to interview a minority but can't find one, then legal claims cannot successfully be brought against the school. In short, instead of sacking this bill, we made it stronger. It doesn't require schools to hire minorities. It doesn't impose quotas. It just says, keep your eyes open. There may be others who deserve a look. When more opportunities open up, good things almost always happen. No one really knows why. It just is the divine way of the world. Problems can become opportunities when the right people come together. This is our chance to provide more opportunity. This is our opportunity to provide leadership. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, do you wish to close, Senator Carter? All right. The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 3118. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should be passed will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Monzenderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. President Courtney. Excuse. Winters. Absent. Boquist. 20 ayes.
House Bill 3118B, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. I recognize Senator Dingfelder. Oh, I'm not going to recognize you. Just a minute. All right, I'm going to recognize Senator Przonski.
This is concurrence.
Concurrence?
Madam President, the first request we have before us is I ask the Senate concur on House amendments and repass 728.
Senator Przonski moves that the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 728. Discussion.
Thank you, Madam President. What we have here is an attempt to define methamphetamines in the two schedules. One for medical use would be a Schedule 2, and as we had passed originally, all other indications would be a Schedule 1. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, you don't want to close? All right, those who have the opinion that the Senate should concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 728 will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Devlin.
We're gonna do this.
Dingfelder. Ferrioli.
Okay.
George.
Okay.
Gerard. Hass.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz. Metzger. Juanes Anderson.
Aye.
Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Ferger. Ferger.
Senator Ferger.
Ferger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. President Courtney. Excuse. Winters. Absent. Boquist. Borino. Atkinson. Metzger.
Senate Bill.
Winters.
Senate Bill 728, having received a constitutional majority, is declared repassed. The Senate will now take action on the Conference Committee report on House Bill 2175. Senator Przonski.
Madam President, I move that the Senate adopt the Conference Committee report and repass House Bill 2175.
Senator Przonski moves that the Senate adopt the Conference Committee report and repass House Bill 2175. Senator Przonski.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, what happened here is we have what was the B5 that allows for the prosecution for a sex offender who fails to report and change of address in either of the two counties, one that he or she previously lived in and or the one that they have now reside in. This was a bill that was actually 2171, if I'm not mistaken, that got lost in the shuffle, so we're just adding it in so it can go forward and we can make certain these individuals who fail to report that our sex offenders are, in fact, able to be charged and prosecuted for that failure to report.
Seeing no further discussion, the question is on the adoption of the Conference Committee report and repassage of House Bill 2175. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should be repassed will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Juanes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Ferger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, President Courtney.
Yes.
Absent, Boquist, 29 ayes.
House Bill 2175, having received a constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Recognize Senator Devlin. Recognize Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Madam President.
I move that consideration of House Bill 2339 be taken from its place on today's calendar and placed on the Monday, June 22nd calendar.
Senator Devlin has moved House Bill 2339 be taken from its place on today's calendar and placed on the Monday, June 22nd calendar. Discussion?
Good idea on a day like today.
If there is no further discussion, the question is now on taking House Bill 2339 from today's calendar and placing it on Monday, June 22nd's calendar. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed, no. Motion is carried. Action on executive appointments requiring Senate confirmation. Introduction and first reading of Senate measures. Second reading of Senate measures.
Senate Bill 976 from National Emergency Assistance Squad Emergency.
Passed to calendar. Third reading of Senate measures. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 676 from Industrial Hemp and Property Money.
Recognize Senator Nelson.
Yes, thank you, Madam President. Senate Bill 677 is relating to industrial hemp, and I need to declare a conflict of interest because of this bill should pass, and the federal government approve the growing of this. Our farm may benefit from this. But Senate Bill 677 authorizes the production, possession, and commerce in industrial hemp commodities and products. This bill identifies industrial hemp as an agricultural product, subject to regulation and inspection by the Department of Ag and requires that growers and handlers have a license issued by the department for a fee to be established by the department. Currently, the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration does not allow permits to allow the growth of industrial hemp. But if they were to allow it, the Department of Agriculture would have to return to the Emergency Board for expenditure limitation. This bill, industrial hemp, if you recall, I handed out earlier in the session a thing where tea bags are made out of hemp. Rope is made out of hemp. That during the Second World War, it was encouraged for us to grow, but during our sort of hysteria coming out of the 1970s, it is a cousin to the marijuana plant, and some people felt it's hallucinogenic, but it is not. From my viewpoint as a farmer, it's a potential cash crop. If you're an organic farmer, you don't use any pesticides with it. It grows so tall that it's very good for weed control, and so I would urge your aye vote on it, and would turn it over to the co-sponsor, Senator Prozanski. Okay.
Senator.
Thank you, Madam President, and to my colleagues and to the Senator Nelson for his introduction of the subject. First, I also would like to notice a potential conflict. Even though at this time I do not have any association with industrial hemp, I believe that once the state has the ability and the farmers in the state have the ability to do so, I may actually want to invest in that opportunity to help farmers as well as manufacturers. So I do want to put a potential conflict on the record now.
So
I also, Madam President, ask for unanimous consent to use visual aids during my presentation.
There's no objection. Please do so.
All right. Thank you, Madam President. First, I want to just start about, as Senator Nelson was talking about, the kind of the history of industrial hemp in the United States. It's worth noting for everyone that back in colonial times, we had the growing of industrial hemp. In fact, we had the mandatory requirement in some of the colonies that required colonists to actually grow hemp because it was such a vital product in that day. From that time up until 1970, we saw hemp being grown throughout the U.S. as well as in the world. In 1970, there was unfortunately a redefinition and reclassifying of industrial hemp into the definition of marijuana, and that's at the time when we saw that industrial hemp was no longer allowed to be grown in this country. As the good senator said earlier, World War II, we actually had what's known as Hemp for Victory. The United States government was having farmers throughout the country, specifically in the Midwest, that were in fact growing hemp for the war effort because we had, again, lost our source of hemp, and they wanted to make certain that they had enough to make the cells, canvas, and other materials that they were using during the war. Today, hemp must be imported into the country. We are not allowed in this country to actually grow industrial hemp, and that is, again, because of the redefinition that occurred in 1970. I want to go back, Madam President. I just want to take everyone back to a time in 1967. 1967, for those who remember, and I would have to ask one of our senators, the good senator from the center of Portland, to maybe have to go to Google or go to one of the Flix picks to get one of the movies. But the movie, The Graduate. During The Graduate, Walter Brook took the Dustin Hoffman, who was playing the part of Benjamin, and said, "I have just one word for you." And that word was plastics. There's a future in plastics. So what I'm here today to tell you is that I believe that Senate Bill 676 is going to allow us to kind of go back in the future. It will, in fact, allow farmers to benefit from growing hemp and selling it to Oregon businesses. Colleagues, what I have in my hand here is a product that is actually being produced at, and it's a Oregon company named Living Harvest. Living Harvest, they came, one of the founders came to talk about what the products that they are now producing. And Living Harvest has hemp milk. This is a milk that's being used throughout the U.S., and they said that right now their business is a $1 million revenue. They project in 5 years that they will have a $100 million business. That's a Portland-based business that could potentially hit $100 million in 5 years. That's why I declared the potential conflict of interest, because I think all of us might want to be looking at that in the future. Now, there's other businesses in the state that actually are using hemp seed and other type of products of this hemp, and one of them is the Mary Hempsters. They have a lip balm. I've used that for a number of years. I also have textiles that have been used. This shirt here is a shirt that's from Hawaii that's made from hemp, and so it's been used in textiles, and there's been other... items that are used, hemp seed for organic hemp plus cereals. We also have chips. For those who get those, need to have a little food, there's the little chips for those who are across the table. And as we know, at the end of the day, after a hard ride, you might need to have something like protein, and we have hemp protein powder. So the reality is, it's nothing new. It's the problem is, in this state, as well as other states that actually have manufacturers of using hemp, either fiber or using seed, they have to import it into this country. Our farmers are not allowed to actually benefit from that commerce, and that's what 676 is going to allow them to do. So, I should tell you a little bit about the bill. The bill itself does, in fact, have safeguards. It does have licensing requirements, and it does have limitations as to where and how it's going to be done. We're taking the perspective that you have to have an acreage of at least 2.5 acres. It would be GPS, so they know exactly where it's at. And the Department of Ag, if and when we put this program up and running, will be able to know exactly where all the industrial hemp fields are, and will be able to test any of the crops to make certain that they hit the maximum, don't go above the maximum on the THC, which is a 0.3%. So with that, Madam President, I ask that all of our colleagues consider the opportunities for our farmers. We know that the farmers in this state can, in fact, grow great grass seed. We think that they can grow great hemp and actually have hemp seed as another alternative. And as the good senator from the Pendleton area said, it should be the choice of the farmer, not anyone else. And so this is one way that we can actually position our state so when the federal government comes to its senses and allows them to move forward, they will, in fact, be able to be on the cutting edge and providing other Oregon businesses with the base of the crops that they need to actually manufacture, and it will be a sustainable business. Thank you, Madam President.
Thank you, Senator Morris, for yielding your time. I recognize Senator George.
Thank you, Madam President. I'd like to declare a potential vote, conflict of interest.
State your conflict.
My family and my brother and I own a great deal of farmland, and after reviewing this session, we think this is the only way we may be able to pay all the taxes that the rest of you just passed on us. Thank you, Madam President.
Seeing no further discussions. Oh. Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Madam President. I rise to state a potential conflict of interest.
State it, please.
I am a farmer, and the way this state's going, this may be the only crop left for me.
Senator Atkinson.
In lieu of a double dog dare, Madam President, I would like to ask the carrier question.
Do you yield to a question, Senator Prozanski?
Yes, Madam President.
To the good Senator Eugene, does the company that makes the soy milk also make brownie mix?
Just 1 second. To the good Senator, the senior senator from Southern Oregon, they make multiple different products, and they have a website. They actually have recipes available. So I would ask that you go to livingharvestfoods.com, and you can probably get your brownie recipe.
Seeing no further discussion, Senator Nelson or Senator Prozanski, who wants to close?
Madam President, just one other thing I guess we need to say. This is an opportunity to allow our farmers to actually have the opportunity to, let's say, invest and move forward into the future that actually was preceded us, as many of our forefathers have actually demonstrated this is a crop that we should allow. And for those who may ask, back in 1999, I received a shirt from one of our colleagues that when we were asking as to what was the differences between this and marijuana, industrial hemp is rope, it's not dope.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 676. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should be passed will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Carter. Devlin, Dinkfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montezinderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Prozanski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker,
Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. President Courtney. Absent. Boquist. Voting no. Farioli. Girard. 27 ayes.
Senate Bill 676B, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Senator Walker.
Vote explanation, Madam Chair. I haven't seen that T-shirt, rope not dope, since I gave it to the good senator back in 1999. He's been trying that long to get a bill passed, and so I'm very pleased to have voted yes today to hopefully encourage this new crop that can bring a lot of production and financial business to Oregon with Oregon's farmers. Thank you.
The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 797, Department of Justice, Public Money Clear Emergency.
Recognize Senator Walker.
Okie dokie. Senate Bill 797 renames the current Consumer Protection and Education account to the Department of Justice Protection and Education Revolving Account. The bill also expands the use of this account to include criminal prosecution of violations of state and federal environmental laws. Currently, the account is used for activities relating to consumer protection and unfair trade practices. For certain restitutions recovered by the Department of Justice where the agency cannot determine the person who is owed the restitution or the amount of the distribution would be de minimis, this bill requires these funds be deposited in the general fund instead of this newly named revolving account. The bill was amended to clarify the legislature's role in reviewing the expenditures, revenues, and ending balances of the fund and determining when excess resources in the account should be transferred to the general fund. I appreciate the Attorney General's work with me on this bill to make it more acceptable to me and the legislature. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of Senate Bill 797 as amended. Thank you.
Seeing no discussion, do you want to close? The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 797. Those over the opinion that the bill should be passed will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Devlin. Devlin. Dingfelder. Farioli. Farioli. George. Girard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Mons Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Verger. Absent. Boquist. Voting no. Atkinson. Farioli. George. Cruz. Starr. Telfer. Whitsett. 21 ayes.
Senate Bill 797, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 894, Transportation Workforce Development, Court Emergency.
Recognize Senator Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Madam President, Senate Bill 894 directs the Department of Transportation to use 0.5% of all federal funds, up to a maximum of $1.5 million, to increase diversity in the highway construction workforce. ODOT will use these federal funds and may use other agency resources to provide services designed to increase diversity. Services include pre-apprenticeship programs, pre-employment counseling, remedial training, supportive services such as child care. ODOT will report to the Legislative Assembly no later than December 1st of each even-numbered year on the performance outcomes from each of the activities specified in this bill. Ladies and gentlemen, women and minorities have traditionally been seriously underrepresented as a percentage of the state's population at every level of involvement in public construction projects. State policy requires equal employment opportunities for all citizens. Senate Bill 894 is an attempt to increase the involvement of women and minorities in public construction projects in Oregon. I urge your aye vote.
Senator George.
Thank you, Madam President. Colleagues, you may notice that I was no vote in committee, and I want to explain what it was about and explain why I think the merits of this bill deserve to be reviewed. The Oregon Department of Transportation has worked very hard to encourage minority-owned businesses. They have a great program inside of the Department of Transportation that they have worked very, very hard to increase the participation of minority-owned firms in the bidding process. I really felt like we were striking a blow at an agency who was doing a great job in trying to increase the amount of minority participation in the Department of Transportation. This is one of those bills that you could, in essence, rearrange the chairs on the deck every single session, claiming that you cared more about minority-owned businesses than you did before. The fact is that the Department of Transportation has been doing an excellent job in this field. If we want to put additional resources into this, I think that we should have come up with additional dollars to pay for another program, either at the community college level or at the university level or through some other part of government that would encourage minority-owned businesses. I wanted to explain my vote because it has nothing to do with the fact that I actually want to increase the participation of minority-owned businesses. This just isn't the way to do it. Thank you, Madam President.
Seeing no further discussion, do you want to close? All right. The question now arises upon third reading, final passage of Senate Bill 894. Those of the opinion that the bill should be passed will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Metzger. Mons Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, President Courtney?
Yes.
Excuse, Metzger, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, absent, Boquist, voting no, Atkinson, George, 23 ayes.
So. The Senate Bill 894, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Senator Williams, what purpose do you rise?
Permission, Mr. President, to vote on Senate. 3118, it will not change the outcome.
Senator Winters has asked for unanimous consent to be allowed to vote on House Bill 3118. It will not change the outcome. Is there any objection? Senator Winters, how do you vote?
Aye, Mr. President.
Senator Winters votes aye on House Bill 3118. First reading of House measures.
House Bill 5027, Fixed Administration, Oregon Liquor Control Commission, Declaring Emergency. House Bill 2073, the Oregon Rainy Day Fund. House Bill 2152, Oregon Economic Development, Funding Money, Declaring Emergency. House Bill 2557, Higher Education Faculty. House Bill 3059, Traumatic Injury Data, Declaring Emergency. House Bill 3156, Foreign Broadband Program Money, Declaring Emergency. House Bill 3497, Motor Vehicle Fuel. House Bill 3507, Mandatory Workers' Communications to Employee by Employers' Opinions.
These are transmitted to the President's desk referral. Second reading of House measures.
House Bill 2377, Nuisance Mobile Communication Devices While Driving. House Bill 2441, Limited Confessions. House Bill 2472, Business Sharing Tax Credits, First Cabin Effective Date. Friday, February, raising the price group by 3/4 majority. House Bill 2600, Transient Lodging Persons with Disabilities. House Bill 2653, Corporate Income Taxation, First Cabin Effective Date. House Bill 3496, from Health Insurance.
These are passed to the calendar. Third reading of House measures without objection. The remaining House measures will be carried over until Monday's calendar, which is June 22nd. Message from the House.
Mr. President, the speaking from the House has passed. The following Senate bills amended by the House. Senate Bill 119, 796, and concurrence amendments and repassed House Bills 23, 45, 32, 32, 24, 03, and 394.
Senator Farrelly, what purpose do you rise?
Announcements.
Let me move on here first. Other business of the Senate, according to SR 8.403, committee referral list 136, 137 were distributed to members June 18th, and 138 was distributed today.
The referrals will be called in the Journal of State's report is so ordered. Under now, so recognize Senator Ted Ferrioli. Recognize Senator Ted Ferrioli, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, there was an absolutely wonderful ceremony that most members, I think if not all members, attended a few minutes ago out on the lawn of the Capitol, where a tree was dedicated to the memory of Ted Winters. At 3:30, Senator Winters and I are proceeding to Western Oregon University to witness and participate in the dedication of a brand new building, and I believe it's the nursing school at Western Oregon University will be dedicated to the memory and the honor of Ted Winters, and those members that are here are cordially invited to join us to commemorate that event. So if you are here and have time, it's not far to Monmouth, and I think it'll be an absolutely wonderful opportunity to further honor Ted Winters. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Further announcements? Effective immediately, I am making the following change. The Conference Committee on House Bill 3089 to charge Senator Floyd Pazansky, appoint Senator Mark Hass, effective immediately as of midnight tonight. The Rules and Finance and the Revenue Committee will be closed. It is so ordered. Recognize Senator Winters. Senator Winters, do you wish to get your light on?
Mr. President, I know I'm supposed to do this under remonstrance, but I just want to say thank you.
Thank you, Senator Winters. If there are no further announcements, and without objection, this Senate is adjourned until 9:45 Monday, June 22nd.